Okay, you ready? You are going. Welcome, and this meeting of the Morgan County Board of Education is called to order. And we're so happy to welcome all of you here today, this evening, and welcome our board. And I do want to excuse Board Member Mandy Wallace. She had some family obligations today, and we will miss her, but excuse her. And actually, it was Mandy that had the Pledge of Allegiance, the prayer and the Pledge of Allegiance that we usually begin our board meeting with. Any volunteers?
I can do it if you want.
Okay.
Our Father in Heaven, we're grateful to be gathered here this day. We're grateful to be part of this great country in this valley. We ask you to bless as we go throughout this board meeting that thou would inspire us and help us make good decisions for all that we have responsibility for. We're grateful for our valley and all the district. We pray that we've had a great summer, and as kids plan to return in the next couple weeks, they may do so in safety. Ask to bless our buildings that they will be prepared and ready to go. And we're grateful for all the hard work that all of our employees have done this summer to prepare for the upcoming school year. We pray for those members of our school district, Father, this day that need a special blessing of comfort, peace, and hope, courage. We know that some hearts are heavy. We ask you to bless them and know that we as a district are behind them and support them. We ask you to inspire us this night. We say these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
I'll get it closer. Talk right into it. Is that better? Okay. Board members have had an opportunity to see the consent agenda. And is there anyone that would like to have any item added or removed from the consent agenda for individual discussion or approval? Seeing none, the following items: public notice, minutes of the June 10th, 2025 meeting, personnel updates, budget report, payment of claims for June in the amount of $5,448,004.74, July fiscal year 25 in the amount of $1,890,737.70, and July in the amount of $4,893,784.33. The June and July school reconciliation reports are adopted. And we next would be moving into our public comment section, but we didn't have anyone sign up for public comment this evening, so we will move right into agenda item number 4, which is our superintendent's report. So I'll turn the time over to Dr. Jensen.
Thank you very much. Before I give my first official report of the 2025-26 school year, I thought it might be helpful to first share with the board a firsthand account of the past several days and some of the, I would say, meaningful interactions we've had with students and families regarding schedules at the high school. As you know, the scramble around student schedules is not a new thing. Anticipating this year's adjustments, I met with counselors and administrators 2 weeks ago to plan additional support for our three high school counselors. Our goal was to ensure we could meet with every student and every parent who had questions and to reduce long waits and the last minute rush we typically see before school begins. In addition to our core counselors, see if I can get everybody, that our core counselors being Mr. Hunt, Mrs. Miller, and Mrs. Netz, we were joined by Principals Thomas and Sargent, new assistant principal Jenny Durant, student services director Destiny Field, college and career advisor Kylie Rock, concurrent enrollment advisor Nathan Costa, counseling secretary Sarah Laughlin, and student data and workforce development coordinator Melissa Carter. All of us workstations over the past 4 days to personally meet with families and help to adjust schedules. This created a rare opportunity, and I've shared this with everybody in the last couple days, and that is to sit face to face with hundreds of students and parents. We've been able to make new connections, and for me personally, this has been a really good opportunity to catch up with many I've come to know really well in the 9 years since I joined this school district. I'm happy to report that across all of these interactions, the tone has been overwhelmingly positive. These conversations have reminded me that when we engage sincerely and when we focus on solutions, this work is incredibly rewarding. What we see year after year, regardless of how we divide the day, are students making choices, students prioritizing, and learning how to manage competing interests. I've never, in the five districts I've worked in Utah, across the four states I've worked in education, I've never seen one schedule that solves all problems. I don't think it's out there, it doesn't exist. But what really matters, what I do see, is that when we work with families to find solutions, that's really beneficial, especially when it's, you know, one family, one student at a time. There are still adjustments being made to lunch periods, to the number of sections offered for certain courses. I've seen adjustments made on the fly in the last 4 days by administrators, and even to the timing of certain classes. Some solutions will have to wait until next year, but I think it's important for the board to know that we are listening and we are always working to improve. So I guess in summary, what I've experienced over the last week and what I've learned and what I continue to learn from students and from parents and especially colleagues, I can't say enough. I've said this so many times over the years that it's really not about seeing how high we can stack the chips. For me, being in Morgan County is about being with the right people. And what I've learned from colleagues, and it's really given me reassurance over these past couple of days that this community, our community, is much stronger when we engage respectfully, honestly, and with a shared focus on students. And with that, I won't go off any longer, but I want to move the focus to our new student school board member, Jackson Farmer, and thank him for taking the time early before school starts to join us for our first meeting of the year. And I'm going to take a little bit of a minute here and maybe embarrass Jackson a little so you can get to know him. Jackson spent the last 3 years of his high school career being as involved as he possibly can be. And that's a trend that will continue into his last and final year as a senior here at Morgan High School. Jackson has participated in numerous plays and musicals. He has performed with the Ovation Choir and loves to sing the national anthem at various sporting events. He even got to sing at the Boys Basketball State Championship game, wasn't it, Jackson, last year? He has been the Keys to Success Ambassador for Morgan High School, helping promote scholarship opportunities for students. He is one of four student board members on the Morgan High School Scholarship Committee. Jackson has worked for McDonald's for 1.5 years. I'm told, Jackson, you're a really dependable employee. Jackson's biggest passion, and we've talked about this on a number of occasions since he was voted in, is scouting. He is an Eagle Scout and was invited to join the Order of the Arrow, which, for those who are unfamiliar with that, is kind of the National Honor Society of Scouting. 4 years ago, his troop went to camp. Is it Melita Island?
Yes, Melita Island.
Melita Island in Montana for scout camp, and Jackson enjoyed that experience so much, he decided to stay there for the rest of the summer and join their staff. Jackson has returned to Montana every summer since, and he was promoted this summer as the Fine Arts Director at camp. It's Melita, right? Yeah. So with that, I'd just like to extend a warm welcome to Jackson and thank him from the outset for his willingness to donate his time and energy to this new position. And Jackson, we look forward to having you here each month and having you report back to us on what's going on at the high school. So thanks for being here. With that, I think we're still finalizing SROs. So once we get that settled, I'll have join us and we'll make those introductions. I know there's been some shifts in assignments, and I'm going to move that to my report in September for the board.
Perfect.
The RDA report from Morgan City Manager Ty Bailey. Ty was unable to join us this evening, and so he has asked that our Business Administrator Scott McMillan stand in for him to give the annual report. Scott.
Okay, thank you. This was included in your packet, so you should have a copy of that report. Just by way of background, this will be the first RDA report for some of our board members. But RDA requires annual report. So we do this every August with the report. It's not super lengthy, but I'll give you just a little bit of background and maybe answer any questions if we have any about it. If you go to page 14 in the packet, which is page 9 in the RDA annual report, there's a map that shows the area, which is easier than me describing it, but it's the area around Commercial Street. And that area was set aside back in 1993 as a redevelopment agency area. So at a high level, what that means is that the taxing entities of the county agreed to forego a portion of the tax revenue, property tax revenue from those sites to go into a fund to be used to help incentivize redevelopment of that area. So that's basically what the RDA does. If we go to page 10 in the packet, which is page 5, if you're looking at the page numbering. Table A there has a change in marginal value. So in the base year, which is 1993, all of the property within that area was valued at $2,087,000. And so today, that value is $36,629,000. So there's been a substantial increase in the property tax value of that, which is the idea of how the RDA is supposed to work. These funds have been used for grants for remodeling some of the buildings on Commercial Street, which then increases the valuation of those buildings, which then increases the property tax that flows from them. So that's kind of at a high level what we're doing there. Then if you go down to page 8, so we're jumping around there a little bit. Table E, this is kind of the key amount to report on for the board. Table 2.6 shows there the amount of property taxes that were paid into this agency was $327,724. So that's the amount of property tax collected from all of those properties. And then $81,931 was distributed back to the taxing entities. So you can see the school's portion is $56,658. So we would have received, $226,000, but we received $56,169 we are foregoing, and those monies are used to help incentivize growth. The other big project that's been incentivized is the hotel. It's there, so they're receiving incentive. And then the last project, which you'll see is just kind of happening over there now, is the work on the alleyway and the plaza that they're doing behind Commercial Street there. There is a portion of this money that's going towards those. There's more details reported on this each month in the COG, where the Council of Governments meets and talk about the details and approve, you know, some of those projects and things. But the annual report, you know, that Ty, as the current administrator of this on behalf of all of the entities, is that there was $245,000 across all the entities that was collected on behalf of these entities that is going towards these incentives. This program is set to expire in 2028. At this point, all of the obligations have been met, including the funding for the hotel and the alleyway up through there. And so there'll need to be some conversations over the next couple of years at COG as to whether we renew or do another project or kind of leave the RDA quiet for a while and let those funds flow back into the taxing units. So that's my report. Are there any questions about the RDA?
I don't have a question, but just a comment. One thing that I have noticed, because several years ago when I served my first year on the board, the school district was part of an RDA, but you really had to dig deep and look hard to try to see something positive happening from that. And one, you know, it's just kudos, because we actually can all see what's happening, and it's very noticeable in the community, and has been an added benefit to the community, because it looks better. It's making everybody's experience from being on Front Street better. So, just my comment.
Thanks, Scott. I'll turn the time over now to our CT Director, Robert Kilmer, for an update on the new high school shop.
Get without instructions this time. It's winding down. The shop it's beautiful. I want to start off with just thanking Scott and Andy and the support they've given us on this shop. It's a beautiful facility, and it's going to be really nice. The teachers are excited. I was teasing Skyler. If you guys don't know Skyler, he lives in Camas. And this summer, a position opened up for him back just a mile or two from his house, and he was so excited about this new shop, he didn't take it. And now that he's seen it, he says, yeah, you're going to have a hard time ever getting to going back to Camas now. He said, I'm not going up to that old shop up there. So I think we've managed to retain a teacher with this process too. But we have a state-of-the-art shop, and it's because a lot of the work that they did, the efforts that they were willing to put in, where in my career I've seen a lot of administrators that don't, you know, district administration that don't have this interaction with the process, and they don't worry about it so much, and we end up with facilities that are inadequate. And I think we're going to have a very adequate facility. So I just want to thank them publicly for that. The shop itself is coming along. We are not quite there yet. I would be lying if I wasn't a little bit concerned. They will have it where we can walk in. I'm sure they will put in as much hours. I've seen more people today and yesterday there than I did all summer on the show. It's just a hive of ants right now. So they're getting there. My biggest concern is electrical. We're still way behind on that. We don't have any machines connected yet, so I'm a little concerned, any welders or anything. But they did bring in some extra people today to start. There was a lot of progress made today, so they've got the rest of the week to get a lot done. I think my biggest concern is that they're leaving these teachers no time to get the facility ready for students. That's, and I feel bad for the teachers. But like I said, at the end of the day, it's going to be a great facility. I would love to take any of you through and show you what we've got if you're interested in going. I know you've probably all taken tours of it as we've been building it, but you can really see what we've got over there right now. And you can see the shiny stuff and all the painted things, and it's just, it's a nice...
I actually peeked in today, and yeah, it's a beehive of activity.
It is. As I say, I hadn't seen that many people at one time, probably on the whole project. So there was a lot of people there. And, you know, there's finally a sense of urgency there, and I think they're really pushing hard, so I hope they can knock it out. We've hired a few kids to help us start unpacking stuff, and we're getting it unpacked and getting what we can put away, and that's about all we can do at this point. But at the end of the day, this is going to be a great facility. I have petitioned the state to be able to host the Weldon Summer Conference here next year. We'll see if they'll let us do it up here, but I'm not proud of it, but I want everybody to see it. So.
Okay.
Any questions?
Great.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, Tom. Appreciate it. Next, I've invited Morgan Elementary School Principal Trina Wilkinson to share with the board our early learning plan.
First, I have to point out one thing about Jackson that probably wasn't on the paper. He has amazing ancestry because he has two ancestors, as I did. Anyway, a little bit of history for our newer members. The early learning plan used to be known as the early literacy plan, but they were able to keep the acronym the same. Seven years ago, the focus was on literacy, and the requirement was, using our Acadience data, that in K through three, that we had to formulate two goals and present those to the board, and then those minutes had to be supported or submitted to the state, and there was quite a bit of funding tied to that. In changes in legislation and stuff like that, it morphed to math had to be added into that, and now it is all math. It's all math, and that's why it's the early learning plan, but they've encouraged us to keep those literacy goals as well, and there's not the, I don't need the minutes anymore to submit to the state. So, but part of that requirement is that we tell you our goal and then our progress on those goals from the previous year. So last year, we had two goals, one literacy, one math. Our literacy goal was that district-wide, our second grade students would maintain or improve on their beginning of year to middle of, or end of year benchmark for accuracy. So you have a composite score, and then it's those sub-scores. Accuracy is one of those sub-scores, and consistently, that's a tough one for our second grade to meet. And we either barely made it or barely did not make that, depending on what that data looks like when the state moves kids that have moved in, they don't count that data, or moved out, or whatever. When they do that, we're going to squeak by on that one really closely. The other goal that we had was with our kindergarten. If you'll remember, when they very first started the Acadience math test, our kindergarten had, at the beginning of the year, we were like 60-something percent were at benchmark, and we ended the year at 30-something. Like, we were losing ground big time. And last year, they had a gain of 12%. So we've gained a lot of ground. But our goal with kindergarten was our number identification fluency, and we did meet that goal this past year between the two schools with our kindergarten team. That was a good thing. Even having said that, though, our upcoming year, I gave you a paper in front of me because I wasn't with it enough last week to get this to Jen in time. It's just that first sentence that's important. By May 22nd, Morgan School District will increase the percentage of first grade students by 10% who are scoring at or above benchmark. The AQD stands for Advanced Quantity Discrimination for beginning of year to end of year. The advanced quantity, what they have to do is they're given two numbers, so it might be 35 and 62, and the student has to say which number is greater. They don't point to it, they have to say 62. And our students really struggle with that. There's a more challenging test. I think that the missing number is more challenging because sometimes it'll say 67, 77, blank, 97, and those students have to say 87 is missing. They do better on that one than they do this one. So the advanced quantity, we had a 3% loss last year. In previous years, we had a 10% gain, a 8% gain, and then a 3% loss last year. So we just figured that for some reason, our students district-wide were losing ground on that area, so that's an area of focus for us. Our second goal that we have to have with the state is that Morgan School District will increase the number of kindergarten students who are scoring at or above benchmark on Acadience. The NIF is number identification for beginning of year to end of year by 3%. So last year we met that goal of maintaining the number of students who were at benchmark, and now our goal is to increase that number who are at benchmark. Those are our two lowest areas in our math. We do phenomenally well on the Acadience math test. It's actually really hard to find places to improve on some of those things. The other goal that we decided to keep is just that second grade accuracy goal. If we did not meet that goal, Principal Martin and I felt that it would be best to continue to shine that light and that focus on that for our second grade to meet that goal. And then we also, this one is not required, the two literacy goals are not required, but we just felt that in the interest of, so you know, we have set the goal that 80% of, it says Morgan Elementary, and I apologize, but I copied and pasted, Morgan County School District is what it should be. Students in K through 4 will achieve typical or better progress from beginning of year to end of year in the Acadience reading. This past year, we were 75%. We feel like 80% is totally doable in that. It's really our struggling kids that we struggle to see that year's typical growth in, and so we're just shining our focus on that so that we can help our most vulnerable population in that reading area. The other thing with that last goal is that the state just requires K through 3 reporting, but with that last goal, we included our fourth grade, that they are part of that lift on there because they need to be. Excuse me. Questions?
Thank you.
Okay. Awesome, thanks.
Thanks, Principal Lindsay. Appreciate it. That concludes my report.
Thank you. We're on agenda item number 5, and I'll turn the time over to Business Administrator Scott McMillan.
Okay, first, just since the beginning of a new year, we have a new financial report. This is the colorful one in your packet in the consent agenda. Just to highlight a couple of things on that, and you've probably seen that already, but this does reflect the investment that we did into Zion's. If you look at the cash balances there, in connection with the shop project, we borrowed the money for that project. We have the cash set aside and have invested that into some longer term treasuries to align with the term of that loan. So you'll see there's $10,253,000 that's with Zion's. The remainder of our funds are generally invested with the public treasury fund. The rate of return is at 4.2 versus 4.4. So we have a couple of points lower on that, but it's locked up for a longer duration. So you'll see that subsequent months, that dollar amount of those funds that are set aside in the event that that the board decides to pay off that shop loan early, those funds are set aside. At this point, at the 4.2, we're earning more interest than what we're paying on the loans at 3.85. And so, where we have it locked in, it doesn't really make a lot of sense to pay it off, but we could if we decided to. Secondly, just we've rolled the columns over, so we've dropped fiscal 23 off. We now have fiscal year 24 as our last month of actuals in the left-hand column. Fiscal year 25, those are labeled as preliminary, and they will remain preliminary until November when the outside auditors come in and certify those numbers, and those will become actuals. But they're pretty close to actuals. There could be some small adjustments through the audit process. And then you can see the budget and actual for fiscal year 26. I mention this because every time I look at this, I have the same question. But when you look at fiscal year 24, just in the bottom section there, revenues of $52.4 million and expenses of $47.7 million. And I find myself saying, wait a minute, why did we have the $4 million grant that we got for the shop next door that we actually received those funds at the end of 24? We'll expend most of them in 26. We got the funds and then we went out and did the project. So fiscal year 24 is, we didn't save as much money as it looks like. Most of that was a grant. And if you look at our budget, we're budgeting $48 million of revenue and $53 million of expense, which looks like we've gone crazy with spending, but that's just spending that money that we got from the grant. So those are kind of the highlights on the budget report. Any questions on that?
That's good, thanks.
Capital projects update. If you've driven past the middle school gym, I guess before I jump into my list here, just want to recognize Mr. Kilmer and his role in the shop. The shop's not the same as our normal project. There's lots of unique things that he's put lots of off-contract time over the summer being over there, saying, hey, where is this piece of equipment going to go? Or, you know, what's the voltage for this? And has been a great resource to keep our architects on their toes. So lots of behind-the-scenes time there. For our project, it's just not the same as just building classrooms. It's a very unique building. The gym, the walls are going up, so that's a good sign. We're officially done with tearing things down, and we've made that shift. We lost about 8 days in the schedule with the unforeseen basement that we came across and that had to be excavated and removed. They're hoping to make that up during this masonry time, but we'll see. Still scheduled for the end of March for completion of that gym. So things are going well there. And like I said, other than that little hiccup with the demolition, we're pretty much on schedule. If you've been over in the Morgan Elementary School, we completed an expansion of the pre-K area, giving them a little more space over there, and that's wrapping up. The Morgan Middle School is getting a new library, some new library fixtures in there, some of that cabinetry. We came through the capital list process, and that's going to be another one of those that comes in under the wire, but we'll be ready for when the kids get here. And then our water projects for the summer. We're connected to the secondary water for all three schools, not the Recplex. We're still pumping out of the river for the Recplex, but we have a pump that works there, and that system seems to be working pretty well. And then we've redone the watering system for the practice field. So it's now able to be on a timer and water on a schedule rather than the guys coming down at night, turning that on manually. So again, taking a little longer than we anticipated. It's still some seating to be done over there, but there's a light at the end of the tunnel where that practice was hopefully going to be better than it's ever been. And then lastly, just kind of as a capital item, when we built the Mount Green Middle School road that goes through the Rome subdivision down there, we installed a water line under that road in anticipation of one or the other of the water companies connecting to that. You may remember some of those discussions, and I'm here 5 years later, we're ready to move forward with that, it sounds like. So we've been approached by the Highlands Water Company with requesting an easement from the entrance to the Mountain Green Middle School across that little strip of land out to Trapper's Loop. And so there's about a 12, 15 foot strip of grass on the left hand side of the road between our parking lot or our driveway parking lot and the Trapper's Loop that they're asking for an easement to be able to connect that water line. So we have information from the COP was that they're in agreement with Highlands Connecting, so that's going to be an amicable connection.
I was going to say, would there be any reason that we wouldn't do that?
In fact, we prepared an easement, we actually have the easement drafted from when we put it in there. It just kind of never got recorded because
it didn't happen yet.
So I just wanted the board to be aware of that. And so I'll continue to work with the engineers on that and get that recorded so we can get that line connected. And that concludes my report.
Thank you. Appreciate that very much. Agenda item 6, we'll begin our discussion items, and those policies are also in our board packet, beginning with the illness. And that's on page 18. I'm guessing, and I'll ask this question to you, Superintendent, that as I looked through a lot of these policies that we're looking at tonight, most of these, I'm guessing, are state guidelines?
Yes, all of them are.
Okay.
I fielded a couple of questions over the past week from more than one board member about, these are all these revisions to these medical policies. Is that the correct way to refer to them, changes to medical policies?
Yeah.
Our district, our lead nurse in the district, Kim Titus, is in attendance tonight, meets with me in the summer. She keeps track of those following each legislative session, does those updates. We get together and meet to make those revisions per state guidelines, and then these will, the policy committee has yet to see these, but they will go before the policy committee in September before they come back to the board.
Yeah, actually there were just a couple of surprising things to me. Some of the conditions that may not require exclusion to control spread of disease, and that makes it our call, right?
That was
one that was on there that I'm like, oh, okay.
Yeah, those two stood up.
One of them is we don't stay home with COVID anymore.
Certainly
it's
not
amazing.
7 days. Yeah. Any board member comment or questions? It was pretty cut and dry to me.
A lot of us who attend too, as we've talked, a lot of them, we don't have a lot of adjustment to it, especially when it comes from the state. I mean, you have to implement them, and we can add a little bit more to it if we want, but we cannot take away anything from what they're suggesting.
Correct. And one thing Kim's done a great job of, though, is consolidating these into concise policies, taking what needs to be there and dissolving what doesn't, and paying attention to those things so that they can actually follow them. So appreciate her efforts in that regard.
Well, and the other thing I appreciate is the update of the codes, because sometimes policies change, but nobody bothers to look and see if the code's the same. So thank you. And then there, the immunization policy was the second one. And I guess the only question this brought to me is because we hear on the news that Utah is one of the, second in the nation for lack of immunizations, if you will, and childhood immunizations. Just made me wonder how our district, are we right there with the pack, or are we? Do we do better? Do we do worse?
We're probably about right there. This year we had a bunch of new exemptions come in from people who previously immunized their kids. So we're increasing numbers of exemptions. The state also kind of shot themselves in the foot with this one. They made it a lot easier to get an exemption. So even for parents who may immunize, it's a really easy for them to go, oh, I haven't done it yet. I'll just read the exemption because it's online now. So it's really easy.
Mm-hmm. Interesting. But then, it's also outlined in here with certain disease outbreaks that there's a guideline for those that haven't been immunized. Any questions or comments on immunization policy? We should be able to get through these pretty quickly tonight. Okay, our next policy discussion is medical treatment. And I'm going to say, feel free if there's anything that you would like to add, Kim, as, yeah, that you...
As far as the medical treatment went, we just updated some codes on it. There was a little bit of wording changes. I'm not sure, what did you guys have? Do you have like the whole...
They have the whole
packet?
We had that.
The way that you drafted
that has everything.
Okay. Yeah. So I did not include red lines revisions. Okay. I just gave them to them in the final draft version. So.
But if you want to tell us paragraph or heading where the changes are.
Under the very first, second paragraph, administering medication.
Mm-hmm.
See that one there? All we did was update some wording there. I think we added annually, because these health plans have to be redone annually. And number three, under administering medication, we changed some wording. So we added intranasal, because some of the medication you get is nasal. And then we deleted, there was a section in there that said EpiPen or epinephrine auto-injector, glucagon, seizure rescue medication. We just deleted it because that doesn't include all the emergency medications that we give. So they now have, it's a new thing, it's called Nephi. It's epinephrine, but it's nasal mm-hmm. spray. So we can't have them as stock in the school yet, but they're working on it. Department of Health and working with the legislative for USBE to get that approved. It's not yet, but once it is, crossing that sentence off kind of covers us there that we can use Nephi because it's an emergency medication. It's not specifically an auto injector. So we got rid of that wording. Number 11 under that same section of administering medication. Just removed some wording there. It had a policy in there that actually was named differently. It said the FDACE, which is a diabetes policy, not an asthma policy. So just changed some wording to make that correct. Mostly it was Utah codes. The numbers were updated on that. We did remove, I think we added in, I think it was page 3. I think that's where it starts talking about administration of seizure rescue medication. Either right in front of that or after that, we added the seizure awareness training that's required by the state. That's every 3 years. So we added some information from that. All that wording was taken from the USBE. We did remove, let's see, it's on my page 5. I'm not sure in yours, but under, it says civil liability immunity. And then under that, it says treatment for persons whom a valid life and dignity order has been issued. We removed that one because the wording is a little bit different on the new policies that came from the state. So we just added in the new policy for that, which is called the Do Not Resuscitate Directives.
Oh,
that should be in there. That may be what you see.
Mm-hmm.
We added some wording on policy for diabetes. So I'm not sure where in there that is, but it should say health requirements and services for student self-treatment for diabetes. It was FDACB policy. So that one I believe is in there now because we didn't have that.
That's actually on page 29 if somebody hasn't found that.
We removed, let's see, we had some separate policies that were listed differently. Like we had one that was allergy and anaphylaxis, one that said food allergies. There was a lot of replication, so we tried to consolidate everything to the medical treatment plan. So we got rid of the allergies with permission slip, the anaphylaxis, and the food allergy policy, and that now is covered in this. And then any other information parents need for that, we can get to them. We removed, we had a naloxone policy that was on there, and we removed the policy from the main page and added it under the medical treatment plan, and it's called the opiate antagonist policy.
Page 33 on our packet.
We did have on the policy page, it was a parent letter prescriptions, that's what it was called, and it kind of gave an idea of what medical policy was, but it's changed since then, and we've updated it, and it more follows the USBE guidelines. So that was removed from the main policy page, and it's just addressed probably on that very first page in medical treatment. I think that was it. If you have other questions or you see something else on there, listen.
I think the vision screening was our last one. Were there any changes in that one?
No, I don't remember ever seeing a vision screening policy on our webpage, so we just updated it with the new FDA and the new SPD. They're all things we've been following, but now it's scanned on our website on the policies.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Any questions, comments from the board?
Thanks, Kim.
Thank you for all
Thank
that
you.
Work. All right, our next item is discussion item E, our travel requests. And it looks like we have that in a hard copy. Did everybody find that in your pile? And that's cheer. And their last trip was 2024. And so I noticed right off the bat that it follows our policy of every other year. And they will have fundraising. And actually, when we approve these, at this time of year, it's a tentative approval based on coming back with their surveys, parent surveys, and because, you know, they don't have kids yet and things nailed down. So there is a parent survey that's required that 80% of the parents have to approve. Actually, it says on the form 75% of the parents, I thought it was 80. But 75 of the parents have to approve of the trip and give written approval, and they will actually give us that information. And it is just a discussion, not an action item, but we do kind of like to give them a tentative, here's a problem that we see, or it looks okay. So if there are any comments from our board members one way or the other.
What's the schedule of, is there a tentative, like, when they're going to give the survey and when the results have to be back by? Do we know that?
We were told by Assistant Principal Morrell that we will have those results by next board meeting. Is that correct, Sue Ann here?
Yes.
Okay. Sounds like we're gonna have those before board meeting in September.
Oh, so we'll see those before we actually vote.
Yes.
And approve, but it looks good, and I actually appreciate that these are coming to us now complete for the most part. So everything that you can do, so appreciate that. Any other questions or comments on that?
This is the first year they're splitting D1 and D2, so I really don't know. It's a huge guess. I know the dates, and that's all I know, because it's always been combined. And this year they're splitting D1 and D2 competition because they're trying to get bands and dance teams to all go at the same time to do stuff. So it's a lot of speculation there on my paper. But I knew I needed to get it in.
Right. And you'll have the parent information by next month. Will you have any further detail on that? Do you
well,
know?
Registration is September 1st, so I have to know if we're allowed to go. And then after registration is when they post the details. But I mean, that's the dates that they're posting on their website. So that's kind of what I went off, but I really don't know a lot more details.
Okay. So with the information that we have and the additional information of parent approval that will come next month, I don't see a problem with it. Or anybody else see anything you want to? Okay, so preliminarily?
Yeah.
What was that?
Oh. Yeah.
Okay. Well, look at us go. We're down to action items, and we don't have any this board meeting, so that's, I don't know, that might be a first. It might be a first. We didn't do committee, or, well, we did have some committees that met during the summer, but not regular school visits, so we'll just actually, and Jackson, this is a place where you will report next board meeting. You'll be just a regular, just like we are, to report any information about the high school, anything that you think is pertinent and helpful to the board, okay? The superintendent and I did go to a community health assessment meeting that was held that had a bunch of health entities where they were asking different entities of our community about health needs, and they did that through surveys, and then we had some personal just conversations, and mental health is still kind of at the top of the list in our schools and in our community. One thing that I thought was interesting, it's not a big gap, and this is just an FYI, but Morgan County typically is known for being very healthy, and but Morgan County has a little bit higher cancer rate than our surrounding neighbors. I thought that was interesting. Anything else from that meeting that you want to add?
No, that's the one that's just jumped out to me as well.
And instead of just calling on everybody, who has things to report? Let's go that way. If you had a meeting that you...
I didn't have any meetings, but I wanted to thank people.
All right. Hold on to that, and we'll have our reports, and then come right back to you.
Okay. I just have our economic opportunity board met last week for the first time. They always take July off. So they had a lot to go over pertaining to the schools. We were going to set up a tour for them to tour the new technology center. They're excited to see that. So I've been working with Mr. Sargent on that, taking them over there. And after Mr. Keller's report, I'm excited to see it. And the main thing that committee is working on right now, that it trickles into us as a school district, because it does with tourism dollars, is we get these grants to help businesses in our community to do better and be better. And they're working right now using part of that grant money to help businesses with advertising. And then there's opportunities to boost, like if they wanted to boost their ads on social media or things. So I'm working with the tourism department in the county to help bring more tourism dollars into our community. So that was a huge focus of our last
meeting. Thank you. And speaking of the tour of our CTE wing and our that whole center, we're actually looking to get our legislators up here and do a tour with our legislators through that center and to have them visit our schools. So if you know any of them personally, bring their chain a little bit. That's one thing that the superintendent and I are working on. And member Brooks as well, trying to keep in close contact with those legislators and let them know of the really good things that are happening and the positive things that Morgan County School District has been able to do with appropriations, you know, that the legislature has appropriated to us so that we can show them, yeah, we've actually used this money in really good ways, and this is how. So, and that a lot of that we owe to all the good people in every school and every facet of our school system, from transportation to custodians to our teaching staff. It's a whole It's a whole ball of wax, and we need everybody, and we appreciate everybody. Any other reports? And then I'm going to turn the time over to Member Price. Okay.
No more reports.
You're up.
Dang it. No, just a quick thanks to everybody. We took a beating in social media back early in spring when we was doing the transition into the water system, everything like that. And as soon as that got resolved, and the fields look great. We talked to Carl and that bunch, all of our schools. And it's been a hot summer. We haven't had any rain. We had 1.5 hours of a rainstorm about a month ago, and that was it. Our fields, and I've been in a number of the buildings, all of our maintenance people, doing all the things that they do to make sure that the start of the school year is awesome. To all of our staff members and principals, and then this last month had the opportunity to talk to a number of parents who's been dealing with the high school and getting their schedules figured out. Other kids just coming back. So I just want to thank everybody for all your hard work, and we're looking forward to another great school year. This Friday night, our football team starts the season off, and with that, to kick off up at Ridgeline. But I've had a lot of comments from people who are involved in our district who use our fields and that. In the last few months, they've greened up quickly, and it took a lot of hard work. Scott and all that coordination and all your efforts there, and the superintendent and the group. It never should surprise anybody in this district when we get a little behind the eight ball, and whether it's in maintenance of our buildings or we get a little educational challenge, and our people always step up. And the report tonight with the goals for our elementary schools and all that, to what President Adams said, is I think we're an icon out there. And it just doesn't happen because it happens because of hard work and caring people at all levels of our district. And I always want to say thanks for all that effort. And we're excited for a new year. So thanks, everyone. You're doing a great job. We appreciate it.
Thank you. And our next school visits and our community council meeting for this year. And then in January, we'll set the 2026. And one of the things that we talked about just briefly, and we'll have to have some follow-up because we did the land trust training in our work meeting previous, and we need a little bit more time to discuss land trust and maybe some policies that we need to look at there. But one of the things that I think we actually ought to look at is the community council that is ours to attend is sort of going to be our responsibility, that we are the ones that follow through with seeing that they've had the training, the requirements are met, and all of those things. So I guess my question is, do you want to just take the community council that is on our sheet for 2025?
I think that would make the most sense.
Yeah. Okay, so that gives, I'll have Morgan High School, Kelly will have Mountain Green Elementary, Mandy will have Morgan Elementary, Angie will have Morgan Middle School, and Andrew Mountain Green Middle School. So that's your community council. You're always welcome to attend community councils at any school. But that one's kind of, that one will be your individual responsibility, maybe, if you will. Okay. First day of school, coming right up. 1 week. Jackson, are you ready?
Ready or not, here it comes.
Exactly right. So our first day of school is August 19th, and our next board meeting will be September 9th. Does anyone have anything else before we adjourn our meeting? Okay, we are at the end of our agenda, and I call this meeting adjourned.
Amen.
Thank you.
Thank you to everybody who joined us tonight. We appreciate your presence.
So, yeah.